Hello, everybody. Please allow myself to introduce myself. I'm your host, Captain Marvelous, and welcome to the 103rd episode of I'm Batman, the podcast, the show where I chronologically review each episode of the 1992 Batman the Animated Series. Let's dance the dance. They dance in France. Let's get to it. This week, we have an episode titled Old Wounds, original air date October 3rd, 1998. We start off with Robin stopping two muggers. He smacks one in the forehead with a batarang and kicks the other into a wall, knocking him unconscious. The first mugger gets up and slams a trash can over Robin and beats him with a stick. It's pretty hilarious, actually. So the guy runs away, but he gets stopped by Nightwing. Robin then catches up, and him and Nightwing have a conversation.
Here, kid. I think you lost this.
I could have handled him.
Coulda, woulda, didn't.
You sound just like Batman.
I'm nothing like him.
Yeah, right. The mask, the attitude, the long underwear.
Drop it!
I'd love to know what happened between you two.
Things change.
No kidding. You guys used to be the greatest. Batman and Robin, the dynamic duo.
Maybe you should ask him.
I did. And you'll never guess what he said. Things change.
Nightwing and Robin are sitting by the dock of a bay.
Wasting time.
Anyway, Nightwing starts telling Robin the story of why he hates Batman, and we go into a flashback. It's Dick Grayson's graduation from college, and Alfred and Barbara Gordon are there. But oh, Bruce Wayne's seat is empty! Oh my god! Alfred says that perhaps Master Bruce is having car trouble, so we hilariously cut to Batman on the hood of a car being driven by some guy. Get it? I hope you're the world's greatest detective, because this episode is subtle. The guy tries to shoot Batman, so Batman breaks the glass, grabs the wheel, and smashes the guy's car through a wall and almost kills him. We cut later to a fancy restaurant where Dick is with Babs. He says that he has money from the insurance of his parents' death, and he is planning to get away from Bruce. He wants Babs to be a part of his future. At that moment, his pager beeps. Ask your grandparents, kids. Dick leaves to go make a call and hits Batman. He tells him that he has a lead on a heist at Goth Space. I guess that must be the Gotham City equivalent to Hot Topic. Dick says that it's not a good time, and Batman says, I don't make the schedule. Batman's an a-hole. Did you get that? It's subtle, but it's there. Babs wants to totally jump Dick's bones right there, but he says that he has to leave because he promised his roommates that he's going to clean the fridge. I did not make that up. That's exactly what he says.
So, where were we?
Sorry. I just remembered. I promised the guys at the dorm I'd help them clean out the fridge. Catch you later.
Clean out the fridge?
We're at Goth Space, and it's actually some sort of space technology lab. So Goth Space is short for Gotham Aerospace Labs. So it's not the Hot Topic store I thought it would be. Two goons are there telling another guy that he needs to stand watch and just give a signal if he sees anything weird going on. They're going to pay him $100 for it. The guy asks, what are they going to be doing? But then, out of an ice cream truck, out comes the Joker. Joker tells the guy not to ask too many questions, and then he shoves a $100 bill into the guy's mouth, Ted DiBiase style. When I was a kid, I always wanted to be the personal jobber to Ted DiBiase, Million Dollar Man, DiBiase Posse Jr. Because I want to be his personal jobber. I would wrestle him every week and lose on purpose so that he can give me $100 every time. Anyway, the Joker and the goons go inside, and we see Batman and Robin on the rooftop. Batman is angry because Robin arrived late. And he's like, well, sorry for having a life. And Batman just looks at him and leaves him there. Oh, man, this Batman is such a grump. This guy must have woken up on the wrong side of the bed. It's kind of subtle, so I'm trying to make it a little bit obvious for the viewers or listeners. Inside, the Joker plans to rob some sort of radar disruptor. The goons load it into the action truck, and Batman and Robin break through the skylight, and the goons start shooting at them. The guy who's keeping watch, whose name is Connor, by the way, he sees this. Batman drops a satellite that's hanging from the ceiling on the two thugs. Robin steps up to the Joker, but Joker just pulls a handle, and a rocket that's nearby turns on and almost kills Batman and Robin by slamming into a wall and dropping half the building on them. Even Joker's surprised by this.
You blew it, Joker.
Au contraire, bird boy. I'm just getting fired up. That was easier than usual.
Robin climbs out of the debris, and Joker and the goons get away. Batman is still trapped, and Robin goes back to help him, but Batman tells him to go after the Joker. Robin runs after them, but they are gone, and Robin sees Connor, the lookout, running after the truck. So Robin starts chasing after him. Connor runs to his apartment where his wife and son are playing. The little kid is dressed like a spaceman holding a toy ray gun. Connor tells his family to go out the fire escape when Robin kicks in the door and knocks Connor to the ground. Okay, that's actually pretty funny the way it looks. The little kid steps in front of Robin and he says that he's gonna save his dad and he starts pointing a toy gun at him. Robin then begins to beat the ever-loving crap out of this kid for like 10 minutes. It is so weird, especially since it's only a 22-minute episode, and about half the runtime is just Robin beating this kid to a bloody pulp. Anyway, Connor tells Robin not to hurt his family, and then Batman just breaks through the window and slams the dude against the wall hard in front of his wife and son. Okay, this is all not supposed to be funny, but it's cracking me up. And there's like wacky sound effects. He slams him against the wall and you hear like, eh. What a sheep sound. That's so weird. Don't go back and watch it. Just trust me. It's all there. Batman slams Connor against the wall and he wants to know where the Joker is. Connor doesn't know, so Batman slams him against the wall harder. Robin sees the terrified wife and I'm sure a scarred for life little kid who's going to grow up to be a supervillain now, crying. And Robin tells Batman to stop. Batman says, the faster he talks, the faster we'll leave. And Robin just gets angry and says, S my D, Batman! S my D hard! I'm out of here! And he leaves. Sure, he does nothing to stop Batman from crippling a man in front of his wife and child, but he leaves in an angry manner. We cut to Babs in bed at 3 in the morning, when she's woken up by a knocking on her door. Dick Grayson is there, and he has this conversation with her.
Dick? What's wrong?
I didn't know where else to go. I've had it. I can't do this anymore.
Do what?
I've got to get away. Away from him.
I don't understand.
How could you? How could anybody?
Well, sit down and tell me about it.
I can't.
You can tell me.
It's not that. It's just... Oh, forget it! I shouldn't have come here, I'm sorry. Gotta work this out on my own. I'll call you later.
Okay, so this is a flashback, and in this flashback, Barbara Gordon doesn't know that Dick Grayson is Robin or that Bruce Wayne is Batman. So this sounds like Bruce is molesting him, doesn't it? Seriously, if you don't know that these two dudes were superheroes, and then like some young dude who's like of legal age to leave a home just walks into his girlfriend's room and starts telling her, I need to leave, I can't take it anymore, oh, I can't talk about it. Wouldn't you assume there's something weird happening there that's... Okay, I'll just move on. Barbara goes to Wayne Manor to talk to Bruce about Dick. Bruce asks Bab if she really cares for him and she says yes. Then he opens a wall and he walks in. He tells her to follow him. And it's a dark corridor leading into a cave full of bats. Once again, remember, Babs doesn't know he's Batman. And after the molestation vibes that Dick Grayson gave off, why wouldn't she think that she's about to get chained into a wall and go missing for 10 years? Instead, we get a very funny line from Alfred.
Master Bruce, I... Ms. Gordon, I heard you've discovered our little secret. Yes, I admit it. I am Batman.
It's all right, Alfred.
Very good, sir.
Bruce tells Barbara that he knows that she's Batgirl because he makes it his business to know. At that moment, Joker shows up on the TV.
Friends, do you suffer from that queasy, drop-in cabin pressure, airsick feeling? Well, you should, because of my handy-dandy radar disruptor. It's guaranteed to scramble all radar signals in the greater Gotham area. That's right, friends. Thanks to this smashing new invention... No military or commercial planes can safely fly over Gotham. So, if you want to avoid unhappy landings, just send $40 million to me, the Joker. That's $40 million. Operators are standing by. And remember, don't send it airmail.
Bruce tells Alfred to keep trying to reach Robin, which just sounds odd to me, because it's Bruce Wayne in a suit, it's Babs, Barbara Gordon in regular clothes, and it's Alfred. So when he's not in costume and he's not calling him Dick, it sounds so weird. He says, keep trying to reach Robin instead of saying, keep trying to reach Dick. But anyways, Babs volunteers to help Batman, and they both take off in the Batmobile. For some reason, Batgirl has her costume on, so I have two theories. She has her costume in the car, or Bruce is a creep who knows her measurements, and he made a suit for her because he planned to chain her in a cave for 10 years. I am totally leaning towards the latter. Joker has the radar scrambler on the roof of a skyscraper with the whole place rigged so nobody can get up, at least according to the goons. Dick arrives to the Batcave and he asks Alfred, why is Babs' car up front? Alfred says that Bruce and Babs are running errands and not having sex that will impregnate her and then have a miscarriage while fighting crime. I'm never going to get over that. That's canon, people. That's in the lore. That's official. Cripes. Okay. Anyway, Dick sees the Batmobile is missing and he gets angry. Up on the skyscraper, Batman arrives in his jetpack, which he really likes to use in this season. The Joker's goons start shooting at him and they damage his jetpack, so Batman just kind of flies off. Looks really comical. Batgirl shows up, and Joker makes creepy remarks at her. He's like, oh, what a step up from the boy Blunder. You're nice to look at. You know, she's like, Dick Grayson graduated from college. I think she's still in college. So she's at least 19. That's already, you know, an adult. But it's still kind of creepy when you got what I'm assuming like a 35-year-old Joker making remarks about her that way. You know, as a 36-year-old man myself, I find it odd to be making sexual remarks about, like, freaking 20-year-olds. So that's why this is all just weird to me. But I guess there's no gripes with freaking 40-year-old Batman impregnating this 19-year-old Batgirl. So whatever, the creators are good with it. She starts beating him up. And then Batman returns with with the jetpack. And Joker throws some playing cards at him, like Gambit style. He throws the cards, which are as sharp as knives. They destroy Batman's jetpack, causing him to crash into a souvenir stand on the roof. Joker, who has his hyenas with him, I forgot to mention, has the hyenas attack Batman, making this the fourth episode in a row where Batman fights animals. Because animals really hate Batman for some reason. Seriously, he fights the hyenas here, he fought a bear and a lion in the last episode. He fought like a giant cow and chickens and a pig in the one before that. What else has he fought? He fought that puma, the Black Panther one, in the Cult of the Cat episode. And even if we go back to the movies in The Dark Knight Returns, he gets attacked by dogs. Animals just hate Batman. I guess they must be Spider-Man fans. I don't know. So Robin shows up in his Robin cycle. I'm sorry. So I forgot to mention that Batgirl is fighting the goons. Joker makes more creepy remarks, and he slams her off the building using a giant tourist telescope. Like, you know, if you ever go to the top of the Empire State Building, or even if you go to, like, the observatory in Hollywood, they have the ones you put a quarter in it so you can see the Hollywood sign or whatever. He spins one of those, knocks Batgirl off the roof. Robin shows up in his Robin cycle, and he has a weird ejector seat rocket thing on his bike. He shoots up, grabs Batgirl, swings to safety, and he's like, oh, we gotta talk. And Batgirl's like, no, Batman needs us. So they, you know, we go back to the top. Batman is still in the souvenir stand getting bitten by the hyenas, and he uses a stick to beat the crap out of them, and we get another hilarious line.
Hey, do I hit your kids?
Oh, actually I do.
Kill him!
So the two Joker goons start shooting at Batman, but Batgirl and Robin show up and they beat them up. Joker grabs the machine gun and just starts firing wildly. Batgirl tricks Joker into shooting the radar scrambler. The radar scrambler is about to blow up, but Batman saves Batgirl, whose plan was to stand there like a moron and look at the pretty lights. I guess she makes him shoot this thing. It's like shooting off sparks, you know, living in a powder keg and shooting off sparks. Electricity is coming off of it. It's shaking violently, and she's just standing there looking at it. So Batman jumps, grabs her. They grab onto the ledge. This thing explodes, and it takes out the Joker. We get the comical Joker covered in suit, and then he says something funny and just falls on his back. So we see a police blimp. They arrest a Joker, I guess. And then Batman and Robin and Batgirl have a conversation.
Batgirl, I still can't believe it. How could you keep something like this from me?
You weren't exactly honest with me either.
But you told him.
He knew.
It wasn't my place to tell you.
But it was your place to put her in danger.
It wasn't like that. I volunteered.
You think you did? You don't know him like I do. He manipulates, pulls strings, anything to get what he wants.
I thought we had the same goals.
Things change. I changed. The game's over, Batman. I quit.
Robin, wait.
I hope you got it that Batman's a manipulative a-hole. So Robin punches out Batman and he says, both of you can S my D. And then he starts doing the DX chops. It's really weird. He points, he looks at Batgirl and he says, like, you know, sucks it. And then he looks at Batman and he's like, you know, S my D, Batman. And he leaves. He takes off his mask and his cape and he throws them at Batman, who's knocked out on the floor, and he just leaves. We go back to the present where Robin, Tim Drake Robin, asks Nightwing, who's Dick Grayson, who was the former Robin, if he still hasn't forgiven Batman. So, once again, we had a flashback where Dick Grayson was Robin. Now we're in the present where Tim Drake is Robin. So, Robin is Robin. It's all kinds of weird now. Nightwing and Robin walk back to the spot where the mugging took place, and they find the wallet. Nightwing sees that the wallet belongs to somebody he knows. We cut to a dark room where a man walks in. The man is startled by Nightwing throwing the wallet at his desk, and we see that the man is Connor. Oh my god! What a coincidence. Connor says that when he ran into Batman, it opened his eyes and it changed his life. He got a job as a security guard at Wayne Tech.
Oh, thanks. But you almost gave me a heart attack. I thought you were the Batman.
No.
I ran up against him once. It was a real eye-opener. Forced me to get my life together. Now I've got this great job. Even Mr. Wayne knows me. Terrific guy. Never too busy to stop and ask how my boy's doing.
Mr. Wayne is a good man.
Get it? Bruce Wayne is good, but Batman isn't. I hope you got it. Because that's the message of the episode. That Bruce Wayne is such a great fellow. Robin and Nightwing see the bat signal, and Robin asks Nightwing if he's coming. And Nightwing says, I guess it's about time. And then they both head toward the light. The end. I am very confused about the timeline here with that ending. We've seen Nightwing team up with Batman a whole bunch of times already, but they act like if he still hasn't forgiven him and hasn't seen him yet. Hell, we saw Bruce and Dick hanging out at the circus in the last episode. So, okay, let's just say, oh, well, this is an episode that takes place earlier than those other ones. Okay, it still doesn't make sense. Remember the episode where Tim Drake became Robin? The episode ends with Dick Grayson arriving at the gym where Tim Drake and Bruce Wayne are training and surprising everyone. So did he show up and, like, not forgive them? Did he just show up to tell everyone what a-hole Batman is? Like, he showed up and he tells Tim Drake, like, this guy's an ass. And then he turns to Batgirl and says, sucks it, says my D. Was that it? Like, did he just shake Alfred's hand and then just flip everyone else off and leave? It's so weird. I have no after-show notes for this one, so let's just head on to the Batcave archives.
To the Batmobile. Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
Alright everybody, the Batcave Archives is the part of the show where I rank each episode we have reviewed thus far. This is episode 103, and it's not the worst we've had since this season started. We had a bad run of episodes. We've had four episodes, and they've all been crap. This one is just slightly higher crap. I hate this whole story of Robin, of Dick Grayson hating Batman. I hate this whole evolution of Batman just becoming a straight out, like, freaking sociopath where he just doesn't care about anything. I've mentioned before how I hate that Batman now treats Alfred like dirt when he's always loved Alfred. Alfred's been a father to him and he's treated him like a father. But now, I don't know if it's cool or what to treat your father like crap. So they have Batman treat Alfred like crap. He treats Robin like crap. Like, he's just freaking apparently just has Batgirl with him, like, so he can do her on a rooftop. That's canon. Look it up. It's even in the movie The Killing Joke, where she becomes Batgirl just so she could have sex with him in a roof. That's her only motivation. Seriously, 100%. You can look that one up. So this whole evolution of Batman just becoming this freaking psychopath, it's not something I'm a big fan of. I'm still a fan of the character. He has cool adventures and stuff, but he is just a straight-out psychopath in a suit now. Not that he wasn't before, but at least he was an entertaining psychopath. That's one of the reasons why Adam West is my favorite Batman. Because, yeah, the series was goofy and corny and whatever, but that Batman still had heart to him. You believe that he was doing this for the right reasons. You believe that he was doing it to bring justice, to fight crime. Michael Keaton, you still felt that way. You felt he was a guy who was in search of justice. So it still worked. But then when you get to, like, Christian Bale and Ben Affleck and those, I still like them. Don't get me wrong. I still like them. But now you feel like he's more of a dude who just likes to beat up people and he wears a bat suit just so that people won't find out who he is, like, to avoid the law. Like, his only, like, he's just obsessed with bringing pain to people. He's like Ghost Rider now or something. So this episode feels like it's the bridge to that from when we had the old Batman the Animated Series from season 4. He's like a really perfect blend of the Justice Batman and Dark Elements of Batman. And then once they went to the redesign, he just became a-hole psychopath Batman. So this to me feels like a bridge to that. That's why I'm not a big fan of this episode. Joker is just there. They could have had any villain at all. This could have been a Penguin episode. As a matter of fact, I would have liked it to be Penguin just because, once again, I like the Penguin voice actor. I would have liked to have seen that. There's really no reason for him to be there other than just to have Batgirl tag along and then Dick Grayson be mad about it. So it's fine. There's action. There's some funny moments. We got two hilarious lines from Alfred and one from Joker. So it's not that bad. It's not that good either, though. It's not as bad as Cult of the Cat, but it's not, you know, it's not one of the best episodes either. I feel like it's trying to reach that emotional arc of Robin's Retribution, which is in our top 10, because that's a great episode. The Origins of Robin, that episode is really good. That episode shows you how much Batman cares about Dick Grayson. As much as Batman fights crime or whatever, Bruce Wayne would not have missed Dick Grayson's graduation. He's Batman. He would have done whatever the hell it took to be at Dick Grayson's graduation. Fine. He got that guy. He got the information about the heist. Why didn't he call the cops? Why didn't he tell Gordon where the heist was happening and have them stop Joker while he attended Dick Grayson's graduation celebration? The one thing Batman cares about is family, because his family was taken from him. So he cares about the family he has now. He has the Bat family. That's his family now. Alfred, the father figure, Dick Grayson, his son, Tim Drake, his son, Batgirl, his daughter slash woman, wife, I don't know. And the fact that he missed his graduation and then he doesn't let him have this night with Batgirl, that's not Batman. That's just something else that they just did just so there would be conflict. So I do not like that. Anyways, last week's episode, we ranked at number 80, Animal Act. Right below that, we have The Strange Secret of Bruce Wayne. Once again, that's not a good episode, and there was so much wasted potential on that one. Right above Animal Act, we have Love is a Croc. And while it'll not be the greatest episode, I do like the chemistry between Baby Doll and Killer Croc. As I mentioned, I like Killer Croc just because he's a bad guy, and that's it. There's no apologies for it. I don't know. This episode, it is better than Animal Act, but it's not better than Love is a Croc. So once again, you know, ranking it somewhere at the bottom, our new number 80 is going to be Old Wounds. Alright everybody, thank you for listening. Remember, if you have any questions, suggestions, or thoughts on the reviewed episodes or the show in general, send them to captain_marvelous1@yahoo.com. I've been your host, Captain Marvelous, and remember, no matter where you're from, no matter who you are, we are manipulative lying jerks.
My child arrived just the other day. He came to the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. My son turned 10 just the other day. He said, thanks for the ball, Dad, come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw? I said, not today, I got a lot to do. He said, that's okay. And he walked away, but his smile never dimmed and said, I'm gonna be like him, yeah. You know I'm gonna be like him. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. You know we'll have a good time then. Well, he came from college just the other day, so much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while? He shook his head and he said with a smile, what I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later, can I have them, please? And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. You know we'll have a good time then. Since retired, my son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time. You see, my new job's a hassle and the kids are the flu, but it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's been sure nice talking to you. And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, son, I don't know when, but we'll get together then, Dad. We're gonna have a good time there.